Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Randy Scott, SportsCenter's very own, kind enough to fill in with us for Janae Agwimike today. We'll talk to our buddy Mark Kesicher in a little bit. Getting ready for the call tonight, Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. No Giannis Antetokounmpo for the Bucks. Still waiting to hear about Trae Young's status here. So a lot up in the air for that Broadcrest crew to digest right now, Randy.
It's got to be tough for Kesty from his perspective just to get, you know, properly prepped for it. But the storylines are already there, and I think that's what you want. I'm going to kind of ask. It's getting a little nerdy. I'm going to be like, hey, man, what are you rooting for with regard to the broadcast coming in? Obviously, you want a close game, but also some of the ancillary storylines coming in where big stars have big injuries. I feel like that draws an added appeal to it.
There's a
lot of called a lot of big games.
Like I say, no stranger to it himself, so we will get to nerd out a little bit here and pick Mark Kesicher's brain coming up in about a half hour here. We will also get to your calls, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, in honor of Mississippi State's first championship as a school, winning the College World Series on the men's side of things here, celebrating after with Dak Prescott. If your school won a championship, who is the celebrity alum, the celebrity fan of your school that you would most like in that locker room with you after the game? We also get to those answers and the most quantifiable way that Mississippi State won this College World Series. But the reason we all feel like winners today, Randy, we've talked so much about name, image, and likeness today on ESPN Radio. College athletes being able to profit off of their name. And we talked to our ESPN reporter and writer Dan Murphy earlier about some of the misconceptions surrounding this. And that's what it feels like today, Randy, is those of us who have been supportive of this, who've been looking forward to this for a while, it's like you're constantly putting out these little fires, trying to assuage people's fears and say, this isn't going to change the thing that you love in the ways that you think it is. Like, your college sports aren't going to be so fractured and broken like this, and yet we see a lot of bad faith arguments still getting made in attacking this name, image, and likeness.
It's the last gasp of that side of this argument. It's sort of a death rattle of no, but, you know, and pearl clutching and getting out there for one last, you know, I've tried to warn you, and however it's going to play out for the side that is against these young people having the opportunity. None of this is guaranteed, but having the opportunity to profit off of their accomplishments, their exposure, and the time that they put in off the field. And I say that, and it's going to sound like I'm talking about squats and burpees and whatever else, but I'm talking about the social media cultivation that we've seen. I mean, we had the Cavender twins on, who are a pair of, you know, they're twin sisters at Fresno State University, guards on the women's basketball team, and they have more than 3 million TikTok followers. And the numbers come down to 500,000 on Instagram and then 9,000 on Twitter. And they are being compensated now for their reach, for their audience, because they are reaching a segment of a population that, I mean, I'm going to be fair here and say that most likely could not care less about Fresno State women's basketball.
Yep.
And so that is nothing that the school has set them up for. You know, like, the school is not responsible, nor are they able to take any credit for some of the success off the field that now these athletes are able to profit. And one of the articles that we were reading in the prep for today that I was, because you've been in this conversation nationally for a couple of years now, I want to say, but learning that 80 cents on the dollar is really what these social media influencers could expect in return for each follower. So for every follower, look at about 80 cents. Gojo, we're talking about, I'm going to do it right now, 3 million TikTok followers times 80 cents. I mean, that we're talking about more than $2.2 million. Like, for two young women who are, what, sophomores at Fresno State, that's an opportunity that yesterday wasn't there, that is there today, and it's already coming in with Boost Mobile, and that is nothing that the school is paying them. So there is no risk, there is no dent, there is no problem with other sports because it's not coming from the school. That budget remains unchanged.
No, and I think you get, and this is what Dan pointed out, and this is what I think should start to get clearer for people as we go along with this, because it's new, it's all happening at once, it's going to calm down. We'll hear about the big deals that are coming, but we're not going to hear about every restaurant that sponsors a team full of players, or you know, an offensive lineman that wants to go play sets of country music at a bar near their campus. We're going to hear about the big deals only soon, but we're also going to see these companies supporting athletes in sports that may not just be the big money makers in all of this, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about track, men's and women's basketball, that are going to finally have the support of storytelling. You're going to get to know these athletes in a different way, and it's going to hopefully bring more people back to these sports that we saw in the spring do not get equal treatment by the NCAA in the way that they're supported with all of these things. So you're going to see that start to spread out here, because my thought immediately went, my sister was a collegiate swimmer, and a lot of people look at this and say, Katie Ledecky's of the world will be able to monetize, Olympians who are of college age. I think this is dire, because I remember the name Missy Franklin, who was another young, very talented swimmer who had opportunities, like a lot of these swimmers, turned down to earn tons of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially, turned it down because she wanted to go swim collegiately, ends up getting hurt, never realizes those financial gains that could have been there. Mm-hmm. Now, we're getting ready for the Olympics in July. No track and field athlete, no swimmer, no athlete from those Olympics are going to have to come back and turn down those opportunities that they have earned performing for our country, let alone for their school in these spots.
Yeah, on a day like today, maybe it's not the right time to have the conversation, but speaking of past athletes and the money that they lost out on just by being born too early, you know, if Missy Franklin is here and able to profit now, who knows? Who knows what her financial future looks like? Who knows how it changes her family, any of it? But you can look at, and Jay Bill has hinted at it on Twitter pretty directly, I mean, far from a hint, but saying it's time now to go back and adjust the punitive situation surrounding the Fab Five, Maurice Claret, the tattoo group at Ohio State,
Reggie
with
Reggie Bush. Like, give him the Heisman back, fellas. Like it's time.
It's not too late to do it, and now you have the grounds to do what's right in the eyes of so many people in and around college sports.
You would love to see them go back and right those wrongs. You're absolutely right.
And they'll never be fully corrected.
No, they won't. I can say, there's always going to be people that were lost in all this, and I guess the thing that we take solace in now, hopefully we can correct some of those, but at the very least now, we prevent them from happening in the future. That is part of our look ahead this weekend, as we look ahead to college athletes getting able to get paid, brought to you by Bank of America Customized Cash Rewards Credit Card. Earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation. Now, Randy, we mentioned Mississippi State Bulldogs won their first title in any sport in school history at the College World Series. It pales in comparison to what they did off the field, because Rocco's Pizza is across the street from the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. They serve Jell-O shots during the College World Series, and there is a record for most Jell-O shots consumed during one team's time at the College World Series. And so they put the Jell-O shot board up, and it marks down what each team, what each school has managed to do through the course of the College World Series. So you look at this year, for example, the record going into this year was Arkansas with 842 Jell-O shots consumed by their fans during the College World Series. Arizona had 19 this year. NC State had 78. Stanford had 24. Tennessee, 79. Vanderbilt, a robust 114. Texas, 136. Mississippi State set a new all-time record for Jell-O shots consumed during the College World Series at Rocco's Pizza at 2,353, Randy. The Bulldogs had themselves a good old time down there, and it culminated with a championship, which is pretty damn cool.
And that wasn't even a complete tally. That tally was from, what, about midway through Game 3, the championship deciding game. So who knows how high that number went after the final out, after they celebrate the title, stream across the street to Rocco's and run up the scoreboard.
It is absolutely incredible. And so to celebrate that, we wanted to know, because Dak Prescott's in the locker room celebrating with them. You've got this big championship moment. Your team wins a title. Which alumni, which celebrity associated with your school do you want in there celebrating with you the way Dak Prescott was? I've said for Notre Dame, and I'm allowing celebrity fan, not just alum involved in this for some places, for the sake of argument here, Jon Bon Jovi. His son, Jesse Jon Bon Jovi, was a walk-on on the football team.
Okay.
Jon Bon Jovi, big Notre Dame fan now.
Wow.
Nice house in the Hamptons. How you doing? How you doing? So what about you, Randy?
All right, so do you want to give an also-ran? And I'm trying to open the door to my two. So because I know you say you had a hard time choosing, I want to, my two best options are women And I'm going to go with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, it's a great one.
I'm going to get the Veep in there. I'm going to get Elaine in there. We're going to get some Elaine dancing. There might be some kicks.
Oh, Randy.
Just a little bit of that. Whew. But also, I was choosing between her and Catherine Hahn from Step Brothers and Anchorman.
Wow.
And Bad Moms, the Bad Moms movies.
Yeah, no, I was going to say
she's a good time.
Incredible.
Like, she seems like appreciative of the cheering and the moment and the accomplishment. And maybe the beverages that might be in the locker room. So those two, Billy Eichner, a close third.
All right, I want to get one call in before we go and talk to our next guest here on the show. Let's go to Scott in Wilmington. Scott, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. here. What are you doing? What's your school, and what's the celebrity if you win a title?
Okay, so I grew up in Indiana, and I went to one of the two schools that are really matter in Indiana. It's Purdue and Ball State, and I went to Ball State. And David Letterman's an alumni from there. And he was a C student in college. And he gave out a scholarship to his major, telecommunications, to a student that was based on creativity. It wasn't based on grades at all. And so he has like a first, second, third place. And I think Dave Letterman would he'd be kind of a hoot in the locker room and ask you some weird questions, probably bring a camera with him.
And I think you're really paying for the stories there, too. And we appreciate the call on that. I think you're paying for the stories David Letterman here. Who knows who he brings along with him here. There's a whole thing that goes with it. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Your school wins a title. Which celebrity, fan, alumni do you want coming in your post-game locker room? We'll get to that, but we also got to check in on Game 5 in the Eastern Conference Finals coming up tonight, next on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenea and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Randy Scott filling in for Chenea today, and we've been celebrating here because Mississippi State won their first championship as a school. College World Series champs on the men's side of things. We will get to our breakdown of the Eastern Conference Finals Game 5 with Mark Kestacher, who's going to be on the call on ESPN Radio coming up. But we've been asking everybody, if your school won its title, which celebrity fan, which celebrity alumni would you most want in the locker room, the way we saw Dak Prescott hanging out and carrying on with the Bulldogs down in Omaha? Let's go to Cody in Virginia. Cody, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. What's your school and who's your celeb?
University of North Texas. I mean, the Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Can you imagine him in the locker room after a championship?
Oh my God! Yes, glass break as soon as you get through that championship in here.
That's Austin's music. Yes.
Let's go!
Oh my gosh!
By God!
I think Cody wins, man. Cody wins so far.
Cody does win so far.
Oh my God! Three Budweisers at a time, just throwing them back.
By God, you know what? This actually sounds like, in addition to Stone Cold's music, Mark Kestacher's music, as he joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline.
Let's go.
Oh, he's not here? Oh, man, I had it perfect.
We were ready to go.
I was so set for Kesty and Stone Cold in there. That one is going to be hard to top right now. All right, we'll give someone else a shot to top it, though, so while we wait for Mark Kestacher here, our ESPN NBA play-by-play analyst, going to join us getting ready for Game 5 tonight, Bucks and Hawks. Let's go to Abel in Miami. Abel, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. What are you doing? I'm guessing this has got to be the U.
How can it not be the U? But let me tell you something. To that last caller said Stone Cold, you know who will be in the better alumni to celebrate with the Hurricanes? How about the most electrifying man in sports and entertainment, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, a former UM player.
Oh my God.
Man,
all winners.
That's like an added bonus too, because he played
Man, I think Stone Cold played too, though. I think
Stone Cold did.
Stone Cold did play.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's fair. Finally.
Okay, so The Rock.
Yes,
sir. Imagine if you could get those two teams playing in a setting and get both of those guys at the particular arena or field that you'd be dealing with here. That would be impressive here. And while we mistimed it on the glass break here, that is still – Travis, can I get the glass break one more time in this, Cliff? Now I can say it. By God, that's Mark Kestacher's music, ESPN NBA play-by-play announcer, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Kesty, what's going on?
Junior, good to hear from you. Randy, welcome to the dark side.
Hey, good to hear you on the radio again.
It's fun to be back, Kesty, man. I was asking, is he out on the road? Are they actually at these games? And they're like, yeah, he's out.
No, I'm in the other studio to your right, like 10 feet away. So that's what we used to do. It's good to be back out here.
Oh, man. It's good to hear you back out.
We used to steal visits with Kesty when they would be in the studio over here. But we're happy that everyone's back out on the road getting ready for some of these awesome playoff games. And Kesty, it's easier said than done preparing for this game tonight. We know no Giannis Antetokounmpo out for the Milwaukee Bucks here, but the status for Trae Young appears to be still up in the air. What have you guys heard from either side as we get closer to game time?
Yeah, you know, both these coaches like to hold the cards real close to the vest. I thought we were making some inways with Nate McMillan that maybe we'd get a little something, but to be honest, I don't even think they knew when we spoke this morning right about noontime here in Milwaukee, much like before game four when it went down to, you know, 45, 50 minutes before game time that, you know, he wasn't going to be able to go. So I think we're in the same situation. But I think it's interesting, and I had lunch with John Barry, who will be on the call with me, and I think he'll bring this out during the broadcast, is, you know, decision-making time here. Do you allow Trae a couple more days to get that foot healed, roll the dice a little bit here, you know, without Giannis in the lineup and see how it goes instead of, you know, maybe he goes on it pretty hard and, you know, it's too sore and you might lose him for the rest of the series. So long way to say we don't know about Trae, and the same thing for Clint Capella too. Took an elbow to the eye. You know, they're doing a lot of eye drops, and you know, they'll have the same deal, game time decision to figure out if they have two very important starters for Atlanta tonight.
He could just do what LeBron did, right, when he had his eye injury early in the postseason. Just aim at the middle rim and you're off and running. We were talking, Kesty, about the difference between going into a game knowing you're going to be without one of your superstars, in Milwaukee's case, the superstar, and having to adjust on the fly. I'm curious from a coaching standpoint, and Mike Budenholzer has certainly taken his shots throughout this postseason, the level of confidence in the locker room, in the organization, maybe even in the fan base, whatever you're hearing, with regard to the guy on the sideline that's going to have to make that adjustment without Giannis in the starting lineup tonight for Game 5.
Well, I think the organization has, you know, full confidence. You could probably get a good smattering of different opinions across Milwaukee and greater Wisconsin with Coach Bud, who, you know, is a terrific coach, but yes, has kind of that moniker of unwilling, you know, to make adjustments. I found it was interesting that they made the announcement when they did. We had our session with him, and I think the local media did shortly thereafter, you know, at about now 11:30, 11:45, and then an hour later the news came out. So this was two different ways to approach it. You know, you could wait up till game time and let the other team wonder, but I think everyone had a general feeling, you know, that it wasn't going to happen. So I'm guessing the team knew as well before when that announcement came out. So Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez and on, you know, they knew what their roles are going to change and what they're going to be, and they still have utmost confidence that they got plenty of firepower. You know, they look at what Atlanta did without Trae Young, and other guys stepped up. Role players played big at home. They're going to expect the same thing from their guys tonight here in Milwaukee.
Kesty, you mentioned that game four performance. Atlanta was up in this game without Trae Young before Giannis went down. What did you hear from Nate McMillan, from the players on this team, about the mindset that they went into that game with?
Yeah, he said that the energy, the urgency from the start is what impressed him. He also added they were very connected on the defensive side, which was very important. And the other thing, too, is that Trae Young is the initiator of the offense. He's like the sole initiator for those who watched Atlanta. And so we wondered, would they have to change the way they play? A little less high pick and roll, a little more in the post. And they didn't. Lou Williams kind of took on the role of Trae. And Nate also told us that, you know, while Lou was the initiator mostly, Kevin Huerter did it a few times. Bogey Bogdanovich did it. And so he was impressed how everybody kind of took their turn and executed. And that's really the whole reason they were up. Might Milwaukee have come back if Giannis didn't get hurt? It was trending in that direction. But, I mean, those guys played way above anything we had seen outside of game one of this series so far. And if they don't have Trae Young tonight, That's going to have to happen again.
Yeah, between that and the energy emanating from our very own Bristol studios and L. Duncan over at the 6 o'clock Sports Center, I have a feeling the Hawks are far from done in this series, no matter who is on the court. Everyone, check out the coverage of Game 5 coming up on ESPN Radio later tonight. Mark Kestecher going to be on the call. Kesty, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Always good checking in with you guys. Be good.
Awesome stuff from Mark Kestecher as he gets ready for the call. Coming up next, we will take more of your calls, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Which of your school's celebrity alumni would you most like to party with the team after a championship? And we'll also get into where we are now in the NBA playoffs. Has a clear favorite now emerged after we've seen star after star left by the wayside? Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We got our look ahead to the weekend brought to you by Bank of America. Customizing cash rewards credit card. Earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Copyrights 2021 Bank of America Corporation. And as we look ahead to the weekends, the Dodgers score 7th in the 9th inning and crush the Yankees in a loss. Ohtani on the mound only lasted 2/3 of an inning as the Yankees chased him with 7 first-inning runs on that one. Not great for the Yankees, though. Entered the 9th with a 4-run lead, gave up 7 runs, ended up losing 11-8. It's the first loss in 820 games for the Yanks when entering the 9th with a 4-plus lead. So, not great, Bob.
Not great. Closer questions now for a guy in Aroldis Chapman in New York who has been nails for so long. And once the confidence is leaking, it's hard to sort of plug that. And you can see the frustration. You hear it from Brian Cashman, the GM, and you can see it in the dugout from Aaron Boone. And why not? 4-run lead for your closer. You're just trying to build confidence in that spot, and he gives it up with a quickness.
That voice you hear is Randy Scott not spraying confidence all over the place as it leaks here. Confidence juice just covering the studio for the Yankees, not for us in this. So that is what you've got to look forward to going into the weekends. More issues for the Bronx Bombers here. But in the meantime, Randy, what we've got heading into tonight are questions. Malik Andrews, our ESPN NBA reporter, just tweeted out a video. Trae Young's out in the court right now trying, seeing if he can test that bone bruise in his foot and put it together for a game in the Eastern Conference Finals where they know there's no Giannis on the other side. So heading into tonight, Randy, knowing what we know right now, not going to give you one thing or another on Trae Young at this point, how are you feeling heading into Game 5? Which way do you think this 2-2 series swings?
I think Atlanta wins Game 5. They've been an underdog for 12 straight games. My understanding is that has now changed. It's going to snap a skid of 12 straight games, which had been the longest streak betting-wise in NBA playoff history. They're comfortable with it. They're comfortable on the road. They go as Trae Young goes, and if he goes, which I'm buoyed by the fact that he's out there getting up shots with a bone bruise. I was asking you because you've been around it. I was like, how bad is that really? And you're like, it's worse than it sounds. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Because it sounds pretty bad because it's your bone.
But I like Atlanta's approach. I feel like there are enough guys to carry the mail, and I don't know that Chris Middleton is that guy. And that's what Milwaukee needs him to be. They need 35. That's the magic number from Middleton. They need 35 from him, at least 20 from Drew. I don't know that they get both of those, and they need both. Atlanta can get it from different guys. They just can. They can death by 1,000 paper cuts, steal it in Milwaukee, hope to win it in Atlanta, never come back. So I do like Atlanta in Game 5, especially with the news now that Trae is trending away from doubtful.
Yeah, because that's the exact opposite on the other side. Like Chris Bosh, our retired NBA player, part of that Miami Big Three, now an NBA analyst with us, said his outlook for Giannis and the rest of this postseason feels grim.
I mean, it's terrible. You never want to see that. You always want to see guys competing as healthy as they can be. You never want to see anybody get hurt. I've hyperextended my right knee in my career. I don't want to be a pessimist or anything, but I don't think he will return for the rest of the season.
Really? Really? So you think he's out for the rest of the playoffs?
Those things are very challenging to come from. You get bone bruises. You get all kind of damages in there. I'm speaking from experience.
Right. So that you have other cascading injuries if you try to play on it.
Yeah, I mean, and just with the way he plays the game, pushing the ball in transition, the explosiveness that he has that to get to the basket, defending their best players. With as fast as the game is today, I don't think his knee will allow him to move at that speed.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Randy, hearing that outlook from a guy in Chris Bosh, who has certainly experienced a number of injuries, been around all this in the locker room there, I won't comment on the long term, but what I'll say here is that's ambiguous. They've got clarity tonight. And I think clarity is the number one thing you look for in a lot of these situations surrounding injury is as we're getting ready. We can talk so much about Coach Bud being able to adjust, but when you're game planning going into a series, because we've talked to plenty of NBA analysts who say you basically have a game plan for that series and you adjust in spots where you need be, losing Giannis is a big adjustment. So you spend your time in this off day in between figuring out what our game plan looks like, knowing we don't got that guy at all. It's not a minutes restriction. It's not we'll see if he can go. It's he's sitting down. And so now Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Lopez, the rest of them have a much better understanding. Because that's all you can ask for, speaking as a former role player, is I need you to simplify the equation for me. If that guy's not going to be out there, that's fine. I just need to know how I can adjust because I'm not going to ever play outside of myself. I've got ability. I can max that out. You might need Chris Middleton to play a bit outside of it. But for everyone else, I just need to know what box I need to fill relative to my skill set.
With regard to the Bucks, we're talking about both a match and a stick of dynamite. Like, you need both things to work in this instance in order for them to go ahead and defend home court and make this a successful best of three. You could say the match is Mike Budenholzer, and you can say the stick of dynamite is the players. It's one thing to know what you have to do as players. It's another thing to be able to do it. And now you've got a coach whose, I think, ability to adjust both in-game and in-series has been called into question, and justifiably so throughout the postseason. So I don't know that the match is going to be able to go ahead and light the dynamite on fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that both sides of this thing are going to be able to do what they have to do tonight. I don't have the faith in Coach Bud. I don't think I have the faith in the pieces on the other side, too. Giannis is, I mean, it's why he's the two-time MVP. Not only the numbers, but it's how literally valuable he is to his franchise, and I don't know that it's going to make as much of a difference. Be as much of a benefit for Milwaukee to know going in the cards that they're dealt as opposed to losing him in the third quarter like they did in game four. I don't have the faith in Bud.
The faith in Bud is a thing we can certainly question. I'm really interested really in two people is what role can Lopez play in this? Because we saw him played off the court by the way Atlanta was attacking early in the series. He was the difference then when they bounced back in game two. And Drew Holiday, who for the first part of the playoffs was not living up to what they needed him to be here, who's another one of these big money guys that Kendrick Perkins called out, him and Chris Middleton. You're making nine figures in your contract. These are the moments that you got paid that money for here. Right. And I think Drew Holiday, especially if Trae Young, the initiator, the guard on the other side, can't go, that's a big stock-up area where he's really got to go out and get them a win in this game coming up tonight. That game, again, you can hear on ESPN Radio. Mark Kastischer, who is on the call, joined us earlier. But coming up next, we have been celebrating a lot today. Everyone always talks about it's Bobby Bonilla Day. Put some more coin in his pocket here years after his major league career ended. It was Happy Name, Image, and Likeness Day around the world of college sports. Coming up next, I will explain why Ricky Elliott Day should mean something to the world of golf next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., our thanks to our good friend Randy Scott. You can see over on SportsCenter filling in with us today. Thanks, Randy.
Bright and early, man. 7 a.m. tomorrow.
I was going to say, you have burned some long days today. Like, I don't know what it is between you and Jason Fitz. I feel like just always working somehow, some way in all of this.
And trying
to find a way to come and still hang out with us. So we greatly appreciate it.
I love it, man. It's a lot of fun. Especially you and I, I remember you doing SportsCenter hits really early.
Yes.
Really early.
Oh,
I have the pictures to prove just how early it was. And then us doing radio, remember we did the Sunday NFL show for that first,
it
was my first year doing it. It was Jimmy and Prim.
Yep,
remember?
I was going to say.
So, I mean, that's probably 7 years ago now. So it's been, I'm not saying full circle. Let's keep the circle going.
We've laid a strong foundation here. Now we just get to build on it right now. That's all it is.
That's it.
We have built on it with some fun guests today as well. Haley and Hannah Cavender joined us. Fresno State women's basketball twin guards joined us. And today, Name, Image, and Likeness Day around the world of college sports. Jen Latta from ESPN Milwaukee helped us get ready for the game coming up tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals. Dan Murphy, our ESPN staff writer. And Mark Kastischer, our ESPN play-by-play announcer, who's going to be on the call on ESPN Radio 4, Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And we just saw news According to Malika Andrews and Adrian Wojnarowski, Atlanta Hawks star Trae Young is out for Game 5 versus the Bucks tonight. Young will continue to rehab with the hopes of playing in the Eastern Conference Finals Game 6 Saturday in Atlanta. So that according to Woj and Malika Andrews, Trae Young now joins Giannis Antetokounmpo in being out for Game 5 tonight, Randy. So adjustments all around here. Yeah. Atlanta no stranger to this, though. Milwaukee now going to see what life looks like without Giannis for a game.
That instantly changed. Remember, we were talking about picks and who we like for tonight, and I was like, well, if Trey's out there getting up shots, this is maybe gonna swing my opinion. I still do have more trust in Nate McMillan. I have more trust in Atlanta's pieces. I think there is certainly the possibility of Chris Middleton going off and getting 35. I probably have more faith in Atlanta. I'm gonna roll with the Hawks tonight.
All right, I'm picking the Bucks tonight. Right. So it is, and we found this out as yes. we were tweeted earlier here. Randy was talking about the ravenous Bucks fans. It is the Deer District that I was referencing outside of the arena there in Milwaukee that'll be getting ready to go to work tonight. So there's your update there. Big stars out for yep. tonight's game, but we know that hasn't stopped Atlanta before in going and raising hell. Excited to get to that. We are brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Proud to serve the members of the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Our members of the mission. Learn more at Navy Federal. Let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Jhené and Golic Jr.
All right, Randy, we are required by Sports Talk Radio law to acknowledge Bobby Bonilla Day. For anyone unfamiliar, the now 58-year-old Bobby Bonilla collecting $1.193 million from the New York Mets that he has and will every July 1st from 2011 through 2035, backloading that contract that he signed many years ago.
More power to him. He's going to be in his 70s when it's
yes.
over, setting himself up, setting his family up. I wonder if this has jumped the shark. The idea of celebrating the way that everybody does.
Oh, absolutely.
But anything, as somebody who's a fan of a rival team in the NL East, anything that sort of points a finger at the Mets in a joking fashion or a mocking fashion for setting up a deal like this, I'm kind of in favor of.
So, mocking the Mets? We can all sign up for that.
First place Mets, so give them a lot of credit.
That is a fair point.
A lot of credit.
Fair point. Credit where it's due. Just maybe not here. Jhené Engle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Keeping that same energy. We have also celebrated Name, Image, and Likeness Day around the world of college sports. Athletes can now profit off of those very said things, all the hard work they're doing. And Randy, we have finally hit peak. We have finally hit NIL Nirvana already this early in the day. Because according to Front Office Sports, we have our first NCAA dog deal.
Yes.
Arkansas wide receiver Trey Knox and his Husky Blue have inked a deal with PetSmart. His quote said, "I have always been proud to be an Arkansas football player, but I'm just as proud to be a dog dad. And can confirm, based on the picture, we are dealing with a very good boy."
Oh, I love it. You love to see it. You love to see the fact that the appeal from these athletes is more than just, hey, supplements and K-tape and this brace and whatever else. Like, we're talking cell phone deal, mobile wireless. Who doesn't love dogs? Like, there's a universal appeal right now to these young
college dog
athletes.
Is in the house.
That's how you say this. This is Stephen A's been talking about all along. God love him. The youth. You know what? This has all taught me the kids. They are all right.
They are all right.
They are all right. Speaking of the kids, golf is all right now because Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka just keep on feeding the meter when it comes to this sports talk rivalry that has been budding. And so here's what happened. Bryson DeChambeau's people came out with an announcement. Him and caddy Tim Tucker are taking a break. Now, this was Bryson DeChambeau's agent Brett Falkoff telling Bob Herrig, quote, "They have gone their separate ways for now. That doesn't mean forever, but it means they're not working together now. This might met last night and decided to move on. It's just been an accumulation of things." All right, splitting up with his caddy. We've seen guys do this before. Glass break. Brooks Koepka's music starts playing here because he, conveniently enough, 5 hours ago, goes on Twitter and says, "Couldn't do it without my guy Rick. Best friend and the greatest caddy to do it. Ricky Elliott Appreciation Day," with a picture of the two of them there. The guy doesn't miss an opportunity to troll this big meathead.
Does not miss. There's a lot to unpack on the Bryson side of this, but for now, let's go ahead and show love to what Brooks is doing, the timeliness of it, because there was something from this week tuning up. By the way, doing this like before the first round of a tournament feels a little rare.
Yes,
I don't know. Like making the caddy change.
Oh, God,
but
yes.
It was Phil Mickelson joking around with DeChambeau, who's a mad scientist with his equipment, gets everything exactly specified how he wants it, and Lefty gets up there and bends his 8-iron, takes it out of his bag and bends his 8-iron with the caddy unaware. The caddy's got his back to it. Mickelson does it. There's a video of it.
Oh, it's insane. Phil Mickelson, in addition to already being on the back nine, pun intended, of his career, won a major. I mean, you can't tell that guy anything at this point. So, of course, he's going to be out there raising holy hell, stuffing this nerd into a locker.
But also, those two squaring off in the match on July 6th.
It is the trash talking, maybe going a little bit too far. Yep. That's what Lefty Majors in at this
what
point.
We want Majors. Look at you. You're full of them.
Randy, you're rubbing off on me
here.
This guy gets it.
This guy gets it.
Randy Scott, awesome for stopping by with us today here. Stick around here next on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz got you covered heading up to Eastern Conference Game 5.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.